The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, dear friends, I say to one and to all, Merry Christmas. I say Merry Christmas as it's spoken. It's important that we explore what that means. Obviously, the first word, Merry, implies some type of happiness, or more specifically, joy, which is a fruit of God's Spirit. When there is joy, we know that the presence of God is among us. The Holy Spirit is here. What about that second word, Christmas? Note that it is Christmas, not Santa Mass, or Frosty Mass, or Rudolph Mass. It is Christ Mass. It is a direct reference in Western culture to this Mass, the Mass of Christ, the Mass of his birth. It's important that we understand the importance of this feast day. It is a reference to Christ. That's a Greek word. It's the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. Messiah and Christ are the same word, just different languages. And they both mean anointed Savior. For the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed Savior, has come to us. He came to us in Bethlehem. He was born to us in the fragility of our nature. And he came with a mission. The mission was prophesied from the Garden of Eden. And God foretold our first parents, after they had fallen from grace, that he would send a woman whose son would be our Savior. He would crush the head of the evil one who has taken us from our Heavenly Father. And that singular promise was passed down through the course of salvation history from generation to generation. It was broadened and deepened through Abraham, and then through Jacob and his son Judah, and then ultimately through King David, each successive development helping to prepare us to be ready and to receive the anointed Savior when he came. And the fullness of time, dear friends, the Christ came. He came to us in our brokenness, in our sinfulness, in the darkness of our world. He came to us. For he is the Christ, the anointed Savior. And he has come to us in order to save us from our sins, to scatter the darkness of our fallen world, and to destroy death. He has come to set us free and to restore us to the love of our Father. Now, as Christians, we should greatly rejoice the fact that we have received this salvation. We should relish in the gift of our salvation given to us in Jesus Christ. Our hearts should be filled with immense gratitude as we understand that God has come to us because he loves us and desires what is best for us, that he wants us to be with him forever in heaven when our earthly sojourn completes. But dear friends, in order for that to happen, we have to accept the love that God offers to us, and we must reciprocate it. We must respond to his love. The Lord Jesus has called us to follow him. To our fallen away Catholics, the joke is over. How is it that in the church we allowed for our Christmas and Easter Catholics to continue on, to be unchallenged, and to even become a source of jokes? It's not a joke to pop in twice a year and think that you are somehow doing God a favor. That is not discipleship. That is mockery. We are called as Christians to follow the way of the Lord Jesus. That means we go to worship every week on the Lord's Day. The day in which he rose from the dead, we come together in order to offer worship. Worship. To our fallen away Catholics, I am greatly, greatly pleased that you are here. Immensely happy. I pray that this is the beginning of a new chapter in your discipleship. That you understand that the Christmas and Easter tradition is over. If you come, you come to follow Christ. If you seek not to follow Christ, then he would ask you not to follow. For if we are not willing to follow him faithfully, the Lord tells us, we are not worthy of him. It begins with worship. I invite you to let this high feast day of the birth of our Lord to be the beginning of a deepening in your own discipleship. But that challenge, dear friends, is not simply for those who are fallen away. That challenge is also posed to each of us. How have we been doing in our own discipleship? Have we been found among the poor and the sick? And if not, should we challenge ourselves? How can we claim to worship the Christ who is always found among the poor and the suffering and the sick? and think that we are following him when we have not found ourselves among the poor and the sick? What about our life of prayer? Are we working on that? Do we seek to have communion with God, to speak and to listen to him regularly? Do you know every morning, throughout the day, and in the evening, our Lord, his entire life was marked by prayer? How can we claim to follow the Christ who was a man of prayer if we are not even trying to pray? What about the studies of the sacred scripture? Our Lord, in his human nature, knew the scriptures well. In fact, he could use them in order to kick out and remove the evil one when he attacked him. Do we know the scriptures? Are we seeking to study and to understand them? What about the life of virtue? Are we willing to die to ourselves, to our preferences, our desires, in order that others may flourish? Are we seeking to imitate the virtues of the Lord Jesus as he modeled them for us in his earthly life? Dear friends, the list goes on. This high feast day is an opportunity for us to challenge ourselves, to examine honestly where we are in our discipleship, and to recommit ourselves to the way of the Lord Jesus. For dear friends, we must be cautious that nothing or no one lessens the sacred mystery or obscures the birth of our Lord in any way. We should be attentive to the influence of our secular culture, its fantasies and its myths, as well as its false deities, some of whom come to us from the North Pole. For we are Christians. This day is about Jesus Christ. Today we celebrate the grace that he gave to us by taking on our human flesh and coming to us in order to redeem us. We must be cautious about anything that will diminish, obscure, or eclipse this high holy day in any way. Imagine the trickery of the evil one to give us myths and fantasies in order to distract the hearts of Christian homes, the hearts of Christian children. And some time ago, I asked children on Christmas Eve, who is coming tomorrow? And to the one, they answered, Santa Claus. What have we done with this sacred mystery? What have we allowed to happen to our sacred faith and to this high holy day? For the answer, dear friends, on Christmas Eve, who is coming tomorrow? The answer, the only answer, the only true answer, is Jesus Christ. Today is about Jesus Christ. Today we ask for the grace to adore him, to worship him worthily, and to express our deep gratitude to him for the gift of our salvation, which we did not merit and we do not deserve, but he graciously bestows upon us. And so, dear friends, rejoice. Rejoice in the true meaning of this high holy day, for Christ has come to us. God has fulfilled his promise and has consummated all of his prophecies. The Christ has come to us. He is with us. Our salvation is at hand. Rejoice, dear friends. And Merry Christmas.